Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And this Aspire radio program is being aired and recorded for March 27th, 2021. And we're going to look at something that is, in my opinion, very controversial. And that is the word mindfulness. There are some terms, I think, that have been used for many, many years with a lot of quasi-spiritual teachers. Sometimes these terms, like the one we're going to use today, mindfulness or the now, are used in context to probably communicate to people. And that's how I always look at it. Although there is no such thing as the now, as Mr. Tolle would like you to believe and has made millions off of. And it's a pedestrian mentality kind of thought. I can prove it. If you put your foot in a running river, there is no now. Where is the now? The water is going around your ankle and it is continuing to go downstream. And it's a constant. There is no, quote, way to freeze the now, this now moment. Now, if you determine that putting your foot into the river is the now moment, well, okay, but that is no now. Now is about a certain, shall we say, pause. What is a now moment? It is recognizing everything from the context of consciousness. There is consciousness, and only in consciousness can there be that moment where we see the activity of life and how it works. We're going to talk about today mindfulness, another term that people use. I looked it up in the dictionary. A mental state achieved by focusing one's awareness on the present moment, while calmly acknowledging and accepting one's feelings, thoughts, and bodily sensations used as therapeutic technique. None of that is true. None of that. First of all, a mental state. Well, really? That's a mindset. And the whole idea of meditation, of spiritual awakening, is to no longer use the human mind, the mind. The mind does not create awareness, okay? And there is no present moment. There is nothing that is a present moment. It is all encompassing, isness. Now, you know, am I splitting hairs? Well, you could say that. And I wouldn't argue with that. I would say, okay, you can have that. But for those of us who have had the direct experience of what it really means to meditate, we don't get involved in these mindfulness things. Buddha never talked about it. Jesus never talked about it because Lhasa never talked about it because it doesn't exist. Anyway, that is my little dissertation. I'm going to go into it. I get lots of emails about things like this, and I'm hoping that this is something that will further help you. First question comes from Ted in Southern California, and he talks about his practice, which isn't really a practice. It's what he calls a practice. And then he says to me at the end, what do you think mindfulness is? And he goes into trying to deny his thoughts, and he thinks meditation is about denying thoughts. Well, let's go into it. A mental state achieved by focusing one's awareness. What is awareness? What is awareness? Can anybody describe awareness? Once you're in awareness, you're not in a mental state anymore. You're in an altered place, a place of consciousness, a place of inner awakening. You're not in an an idea of a mental state where your brain is involved. Your brain is a very small part of the bigger picture of your life. So if you attribute mindfulness to a mental state and the focusing of your brain in awareness, which you got to tell me what awareness means to you. What are we talking about? Awareness. Awareness on the present moment. No mind can focus on the present moment. It can only create a present moment. That's why I said to you, there's no now moment. Our minds create a now moment, but that doesn't make it authentic. That doesn't make it a real moment. It just means that's what my brain, my mind has created, while calmly acknowledging and accepting one's feelings. Really, I have to accept my emotionality, my feelings, my thoughts. Mindfulness is about thoughts, about bodily sensations. So it's about what my body is doing, what it's saying. How is this a therapeutic technique? I have never thought of it that way. So when you start, Ted, looking at mindfulness and what it means, you have to ask yourself, what the hell are we talking about? To the mind that has never meditated, to the mind who is not interested, all the mind has are thoughts, emotions, and bodily sensations. That's the best it's got. And most people think that that's all they have to work with, that's all they have, that there is nothing more to their life than that. This is the way people generally think. And in thinking in this way, are we mindful? No. Never equate, Ted, awareness with the human mind. It is not subject to bodily sensations and thoughts and feelings, emotionality, and it is certainly not therapeutic. Only in awareness, which really can only be described in my estimation from my own experience as otherworldly, there is within you something that is beyond the mind. And if you gravitate towards it, and the average person can only imagine it, can only pretend it, can only think of it, but they can't experience it because it is found in that pause, that gap, that space between one thought and another. It is a deep and profound impression. This impression goes beyond the stereotype of thinking. Stereotype of what it means to focus or concentrate. How do you focus? You put everything else out of your mind. You can't do it when you're trying to include thoughts and bodily sensations. There's no way any one of us can be aware while focusing on our thoughts and our bodily functions, our emotions. There is no possible way. This whole idea of mindfulness has been totally misunderstood. It's been invented by people who don't meditate. I don't think anyone who authentically meditates can use the word mindfulness. The whole idea is to become mindless. A person without thought, a person who is not dealing with thoughts and fighting with bodily sensations. Mindfulness is the idea of encompassing my thoughts. Now, in my own meditations, I do not experience the mind. Awareness, the gap, the pause, the tone. In my meditations that I offer students, I give them tones. And as the tones penetrate deep within them, they start to realize that the tones can actually replace the thoughts, where there are no longer thoughts to be involved with, bodily thoughts, bodily feelings. There are no longer there. This creates an awareness that is not a mind that is thinking from one thought to another, monkey mind, from one thought to another thought to another thought to another thought. This is all baloney and what I call spiritual mumbo jumbo. That's all it is, the babble. And I know many teachers who are out there who are in the public eye a lot, you know, Thach Nhat Hanh, Tolle, gee whiz, Ram Dass used it. All these people did. They don't know. And if they, it makes me wonder, what are you doing? What are you saying to the public to mislead them? Because that's exactly what it does. But in my opinion, what they're doing is they're giving the public an introduction, and they're trying to help them by saying, this is how it's done, and this is what you might call it. But I don't go there, Ted. I don't like that. I'm more of about, let's get down to the nitty-gritty and really get into it. What do you have to sacrifice to become aware? And that word aware is far more important and far more significant than the idea of a mindfulness that calmly acknowledges and accepts one's feelings and thought. Who's going to do the accepting? What's going to do the accepting? The me that is attached to the mind? What are we talking about here? A state, they say, a quality or state of being conscious or aware of something. Again, they throw out words without really understanding what they're using. The quality or state of being conscious, if you're conscious, you can't be using your mind. And that's the whole effort. Meditation is the inexplicable, the unconscionable generosity of the heart to enter into the silence, enter in without bringing, in my case, the Gregory with me, and without you, in your case, whoever you are, Ted, bringing the Ted with you. You can't bring the human into the divine. You can't do it. And though people will tell you you should or can or whatever, it, in my experience, can't be done at all. And this is why it's so easy to garner huge groups of people who believe that they're being mindful when they're only being in the mind. People love to be fooled. The king, my darlings, has no clothes. Please forgive me. Thank you, Ted. Namaste. Words. All right, let's get to the next one. This is from Neil. He is also in Southern California. What is the meaning of mind and body? And what did Buddha mean about the mind? What was he talking about when he said, and he gives a quote that I could not find about the mind. And I'm not going to quote it because I don't know where it came from. I really don't. I looked it up. But it basically says that the mind is what you think. You are what you think. All that you think makes your day. Things like that. And Buddha did say that in the Dhammapada. So I understand that. But I think it's a gross misunderstanding. So I'm gonna just nail this for you, Neil, and maybe it will help, maybe it won't. In the human mind, all that we think creates our life. That is what the Buddha was talking about. But there's more to that. Are you going to live in that kind of mindset? Are you going to live where your mind creates your world? And if it does, what kind of mind do you have? And this is why we've incarnated into this world, because it's all about the mind and how the mind operates. And when the mind operates, it thinks. And when it thinks, then it believes. And when it believes, then it goes from there to all sorts of mischief. And that is where it gets really ugly for most of us. You know, the way we think is the way we slant life. It's a perspective. It's an ideal. So, you know, when you think about your mind and the subtle thoughts that you and I have, it's a very difficult thing. Let me read you the actual teachings of the Buddha from the Dhammapada. With single-mindedness, the master quells his thoughts. He ends their wandering. Seated in the cave of the heart, he finds freedom. How can a troubled mind understand the way? If a man is disturbed, he will never be filled with knowledge. An untroubled mind, no longer seeking to consider what is right and what is wrong, a mind beyond judgment, watches and understands. There it is. I don't think it could be said any better. We have troubled minds. With single-mindedness, what does that mean? The master quells his thoughts. He ends their wandering. Seated in the cave of the heart, he finds his freedom. To sit in the heart meditatively, not seeking anything, not wanting anything. How do you quell your thoughts and end their wandering? Well, he says it right here. Giving up what we think is right and wrong, good and bad. Now that's an untroubled mind. But the trouble is with us that our thoughts are very troubled about what is right and wrong, good and bad. We want to do not what's right, but what's good for us, or what we think will give us advantage or help us make a decision. And that might be mindfulness, you know. You could give that to, you know, whoever believes in mindfulness. But what Buddha is talking about is a single-mindedness that is the only way to put it in English, and I understand that. But it is a no mind, a mind that is no longer wandering and is seated in the cave of the heart. It is only through love, real love, that we find our deepest happiness, our deepest beauty. It is only there. But how do you master your own thoughts? Well, can't be disturbed by the idea of right and wrong. We look at our life from the perspective of bias, human bias. So when you're using your feelings and your thoughts and your bodily sensations as therapeutic technique, you're only invigorating the whole idea of your genetic nature. And do you know what your genetics are about? Nobody does. Very few people really understand their genetics. I will tell you what they are. They're true for me and you and everyone. They're about how we strategize our survival, socially, monetarily, and physically. That's how we do it. So would you be willing, as a person, in your own right, to give up what you think is a life? Seeking adoration, affection, what you call love, from people, strangers, family, friends. How do you do it? Well, Buddha says you have to shake off desire. That's what he says at all times. And desire is a mental state, an emotional state, a bodily state. It is not therapeutic. You have to be conscious and aware. And you can't use your human mind to be conscious and aware because it's always wandering around in desire, ambition, pride, vanity, parochial thinking, always searching for some craziness that you think will make your life happy. So, Neil, what is mindfulness? It's a dream, an ethereal dream. It's an assumption, a presumption. And it postures your life to go into a deep sorrow, a craziness, a madness. And you will miss if you keep doing that. You will miss your whole life. Hope you understand. And if you do, please forgive me. Namaste. Running out of time here very quickly. The last question comes from Carrie in Colorado. How do I live a mindful life in meditation, Carrie? There is no mindfulness. If you want to live a mindful life, just live according to your senses, your thoughts, and your bodily sensations. And you know, according to the dictionary definition, that'll be it. You're done. But if you really want to live an unusual life, you have to live out of consciousness. You have to be aware of what consciousness is. You carry with you a mind that you will bring from one lifetime to another. This mind is the mind that is undisturbed. This mind is not a troubled mind. This mind lives in your heart, not in your genetics, not in your body, not in your beliefs, not in your attitudes. It lives deep within your heart. Not your emotional heart, not your ego heart, but deep within your heart. And should you live in this, should you choose to move into the heart, you will be deeply moved. Moved by a consciousness that your mind cannot appreciate. And your mind will look at this and go, I don't agree with this. I don't agree with what about this? What about that? I must be, you know, crazy to think these thoughts. You're not thinking them. You're finding their impression deep within you. And they are unfolding and unfolding and unfolding. They're like a lotus blossom. And they just keep unfolding. And once that starts to flower within you, and that's how I describe consciousness, it is a flowering, a beautiful flowering that is a constant in your life, unfolding, 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 and doing many beautiful things for you. Once that has been established in your mind, then you will drop your mind and you will no longer seek what you desire. You will find that peace is not elusive anymore. You will have what I call the quieting, a mind that is in quietude. That is really what it's all about, not mindfulness, quietude. That silence, that quietude, opens up all sorts of beautiful things within each and every one of us. To achieve that quietude, I must see my body for what it is, my thoughts for what they are, and my emotions for what they do. And once you realize all of that, and you see them for what they are, you will never let their poison overwhelm you. And you will never allow their hate to dictate to you. And you will never allow your foolishness, your pride, your vanity to take away from you that which is totally meaningful. It takes practice, but the practice is more than worth it. I gotta get out of here. Thank you, Carrie, for your beautiful question. Hope I helped, and I hoped I helped all of you. Ted, Neil, Carrie, thank you for your questions, and please forgive me. Namaste. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Namaste.